Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Will that guy have a great performance in his first NFL playoff action? Mitchell Trubisky will talk about the Bears quarterback in his first foray in the postseason. The maiden voyage. Hopefully he's better than that guy. Also, Wendell Carter Jr. spent a good portion of the night on the bench. Coach Jim Boylan said maybe you learn by watching. We'll discuss a little bit of Bulls before we turn back to the Bears. All coming up, a lot of Bears talk next on STL. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show, he is the czar of Pro Football Weekly, the one and only Hub Arkish, one of my favorite athletes I have ever dealt with in Chicago sports. He is the great Olin Krutz, and he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. Lawrence Holmes, who hosts our Bears after show, the football after show, and has a great show over at The Score. All right, let's get started. Bears and Eagles Sunday. This is the first time the Bears will host a wild card game since they played Dallas in 1991 when Mike Ditka was the head coach. All right, if you look at Mitchell Trubisky, what would you tell him to relax him and let him just do his job? He's never played something with these types of stakes.
Very simple, right? You just tell him, look at the weapons you have. Look at who you have. Tariq Cohen, you have Allen Robinson, you have Trey Burton, you have Taylor Gabriel, you have all these guys around you. Just get it to the open guy and let him make plays. You don't have to do anything special. The Eagles are going to worry about you getting out of the pocket, so the pass rush cannot come at you full speed because he's shown how many times that he can scramble and make the first down. So very simple. Just make the plays that are there.
You know, I'm not that sure from Mitch's perspective this is all that different from the Rams game Sunday night, the Vikings game this past Sunday, which was a playoff game for them. You know, yeah, there's more at stake for the Bears, but I think he's risen to this level of competition. We'll see how he does, but I expect him to do well.
And, you know, the best part about this defense, the way Ryan Pace assembled it and then traded for Khalil Mack, was, you know, Mitch doesn't have to be great for them to win a playoff game. And, you know, you're never going to tell him that, but he must know that it's not like one mistake and the Bears are doomed. You know, with that defense, he's got a lot of room to make mistakes if he makes.
What we've seen is the Bears defense on quick change has been amazing. You miss a kick, you turn the ball over, they go get you the ball back, whether it's a three and out or they turn you over or they get to the end zone. I think it's one of the best things that a young quarterback can have, the belief that even if you do mess up, your defense has been good enough to get the ball back and put things right. The other thing is, I think we've seen Nagy throttle down on the offense. When it looks like Mitch is missing high or missing left or whatever, he's not afraid to turn the ball over to the run game and say, all right, let's do that. Let's see if we can get some yardage that way and then have our defense play the game.
You know, it was a week ago where Nagy for the first time kind of said, you know, with this defense I've got, ball security sometimes is more important than going for it. I mean, it took him 16 weeks to get there, but you're right. He seems to be, I think, grasping that he can lean on this defense. You know, I think his natural reaction is to go deep every time.
You know, but it's something Pat said is, he said, Mitch doesn't have to be great. And that's right. But does he want to be? Does he want to be great in a playoff game? Because I know what Hub is saying. I don't know if he looks at it as different. Playoff game, playoff atmosphere, the intensity shoots up. The feel around the city is totally different. So, you know, I think you're going to see a few overthrown balls early from Mitch, but I think he'll settle in. I think he'll realize he's got the better weapons out there against that Philadelphia, decimated Philadelphia secondary, and I think the Bears offense will have a good night.
Where are you on Mitchell Trubisky as a quarterback? Because, you know, in this town, it's either you're all in on Mitch or I can't believe we traded up to get that guy.
Yeah, it's interesting in this town. If you say something bad about Mitch, it's like you're totally against him. Some games he's played bad. But where I am on him is this. With this team coming in, I think what you're seeing is this team last year is why the Bears are built the way they are, right? This team last year had three quarterback coaches. They had Peterson, they had DeFilippo, and they had Wright. Today we have Nagy, we have Heffrick, and we have Ragone. So what you see from Mitch is a guy who didn't look like he was going through his reads in San Francisco, yet he comes on a 3rd-and-3 against the Minnesota Vikings, reads the field, and hits Trey Burton for a first down. So you're seeing improvement every week. And when he makes mistakes, as you can see on the sideline, Coach Nagy gets after him and demands he gets it right.
Lawrence made a fantastic point here. You talk about quick change. The moment when I realized that these guys are really better than I thought they were, we were watching this game together, and I forget where we were, getting ready for postgame, was when Mitch threw the third pick against the Rams, and on the very next play, Kyle Fuller makes that break on the ball and takes it right back. I mean, you've got pro bowlers, maybe all pros at all three levels on defense. The offensive line, I got to give them credit. Midseason, I didn't know, you know, if they were going to be good enough to get to the end. They've played a little bit better each week, and the real key is, as Olin says, there's so many weapons. There's so many different things that Nagy will give Mitch to try and make him successful, and I think he will make some mistakes, but he'll probably make more good plays than bad plays.
Well, and leaning on Jordan Howard is never a bad thing to do, and he's been, I think he's played his two best games the last 2 weeks, and just to be league average between the tackles is such an improvement over what Nagy had the first 12 weeks of the season. You know, turn around and hand the ball off, I mean, in this weather, you know, when you're worried about maybe your quarterback might be jumpy, I mean, Jordan should be his best friend.
But will Matt do it? Will he stay
No, he won't. But, you know, and the weather is fine, but I think it's going to be actually an amazing day,
yeah,
right?
41 degrees. Yep.
So, look, the reason why you can lean on it in Minnesota, and really, Jordan Howard got a few carries. You didn't see him for a while after that, right? So, Nagy's going to be Nagy, and it's hard to argue with him. He's doing a lot of winning. So, I don't care what the Bears do as long as they win the game.
I love watching what they did last week, though, where it was like the Vikings can't stop it. You want to run inside runs? You want to do inside zones with Jordan Howard? Great. Vikings couldn't stop it. And I love that the aggression of Nagy manifested itself in the run game a little bit last week. And I thought that was kind of impressive.
You know, there was also something that happened last week, though, that Matt has talked about a lot. Second play of the game, Jordan Howard goes for 42 yards. Mm-hmm. Matt's been talking the last few weeks. We haven't gotten those big ones. We haven't busted one. Nice block by Kyle Long inside. Great clear-out block by Josh Bellamy. It was wide open. Right. They get a play like that or two early against the Eagles, then they're going to be settled right into the offense you want to see.
Here's our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll question. It's on your screen. How concerned are you about Mitchell Trubisky heading into his first playoff game? Very, a little, or not at all? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com. 59% now, 56%.
Do they think you mean Cody Parkey?
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Yeah, hit me with it.
If you're coaching the football team, mm-hmm. there's 3 minutes to go. Bears have two timeouts left. They're down 21-20, mm-hmm. and they've got the ball 4th-and-2 at the Philadelphia 30. So it's a 47-48-yard kick. Mm-hmm. You letting Parkey kick it, or are you going for it?
4th-and-2, I'm going to put my personnel on the field that guarantees me a Tariq Cohen matchup on a linebacker, and I'm going to release him real quick into the flat and have him get the first down. I'm going to get Parkey inside 30 yards.
Wow.
How worried are you about that?
I'm worried about it, and I think rightfully so, right? I mean, everybody who's watched the Bears play this year, you're going to be worried about Cody Parkey if he's beyond 39 yards to win the game, to send them to send the Bears to play the Rams in Los Angeles. You're going to be worried about that kick.
But if you can't rely on your kicker to make a 47-yard kick with your season on the line, I mean, what's he doing on your team, right? I mean, yeah. We all realize why the Bears can't cut him in the money that they owe him this year and next year. But, I mean, you got to trust it. You're forced to trust him.
The simple answer is there's not 33 kickers better than Cody Parkey, right? So he has a job in the NFL. There's not a million of these guys out there, right? He's not making his kicks. He's not somebody you know, he's not Robbie Gould where you put him out there from 40 yards and beyond and you expect him to make it. But he's still an NFL kicker. And if there was somebody better than him, I think Ryan Pace would have him on the team.
What?
Guys, we talked about it last March. The guy came here with 48 or 49-yard range. Mm-hmm. 4 years in the league. He's here for his accuracy. And so I don't know that this game is all that different. Olin says inside 30. You know, inside 30 is a 46, 45-yard field goal. That's really what you knew you were getting anyway, you know? I mean, you got to coach the football game the way you would no matter who your kicker is.
It's on the card.
You cannot make decisions because you don't trust the guy. He's your kicker. If that's the situation and that's what it calls for, put him out there, tell him to make the kick.
Well, and if the Bears need 2 yards, we all know they're just going to throw it to a linebacker anyway, right?
Right, they got some Santa's sleigh they'll pull out. Where are you on Nick Foles and what he could do? He's very accurate. It seems like, for some reason, the Eagles look like a better team when he's playing over Carson Wentz, even though Carson's more talented.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, as you guys know from watching NFL, you can get a guy who just matches the coach and the play caller perfect. And it seems like Peterson, Coach Peterson, and Foles have the same set of eyes. And you, when you watch the film, Foles is putting them in the exact play they need to be in. And then he's finding the one-on-one matchup either over the top or the guy sitting there nice and wide open in the zone. And he's putting the ball exact. When Coach Peterson calls the play, he's putting the ball exactly where Coach Peterson imagines it to go. And that makes them very hard to stop on offense. And like we talked about the Bears, go through Philadelphia's weapons. They have a lot of weapons on their side to help.
Well, and there's something else you got to realize. Yes, Nick Foles deserves all the credit in the world, but they are much healthier elsewhere, even though Carson Wentz is. Lane Johnson's gotten better. Jason Kelsey's probably a little
Sproles.
Bit better. Josh Adams Sproles. And Wendell Smallwood are learning how to play the game now. I mean, they're your third and fourth running backs. And most importantly, maybe, Alshon Jeffrey is healthier. And for whatever reason, Nick Foles seems to trust Alshon more than Carson Wentz did. And he's letting him go get those contested balls, which is the strength of Alshon's game.
Hey, man, thanks.
Appreciate it.
You're the best.
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you hopefully for a long playoff run.
Sounds good.
All right, we got to take a timeout. Eagles once again enter the playoffs with their backup quarterback, but this isn't any ordinary backup. Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles leads the defending champs into Soldier Field. Can he pull off another miracle? NBC Sports Philadelphia's Ruben Frank will join us with the latest on the Bears' opponent next on STL.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
Blackhawks back on the ice, and they'll have a roof over their heads once again. After their Winter Classic loss in South Bend at Notre Dame, they head east to face the Islanders on Long Island. Blackhawks pregame live with Patty Boyle drops the puck on our coverage top of the hour. Game time, 6:30 on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. Bears and Eagles Sunday at Soldier Field. For the latest on the opposition, let's go to the city of brotherly love. And we bring in NBC Sports Philadelphia's longtime Eagles writer, Ruben Frank. Okay, Ruben, Nick Foles has the magic touch for these birds. Please tell me what fans and talk show hosts are saying about Foles versus Wentz. Do you now have a controversy?
Yeah, I like to think of it more as a dilemma than a controversy. I think it's a controversy when both quarterbacks stink, right? They have a Super Bowl MVP and another guy who's the MVP of the season probably through 13 weeks. So it's been really interesting. I mean, you have your distinct Wentz camp here and your Foles camp here, and they don't like each other. I mean, it's been pretty ugly back and forth, and it's been kind of weird seeing the fan base arguing with themselves. It's like a civil war here between these two guys, and you can make a case for either guy. How do you get rid of a guy who just won a Super Bowl and never loses games and has the highest passer rating in NFL postseason history? But how do you get rid of a guy who, you know, last year had really an MVP-type season? So it's not an easy call. I think it's pretty clear that the Eagles are going to move forward long-term with Carson Wentz, but the longer they go, and if they do win Sunday and, who knows, go down to New Orleans and play well, if Nick keeps going like this, the more records he sets and the more improbable runs he carries this team on, the more that conversation is going to kind of get convoluted between crazed Eagles fans on both sides.
Is he the greatest quarterback in Eagles history?
Is he? I think – I'm sorry, Donovan, if you're watching. I've always been a big Donovan guy, and, you know, maybe he's in Chicago visiting his family. But, yeah, I think Nick is, just based on what he did last year, to come off the bench and lead that team to a Super Bowl championship. And then you kind of combine that with his 2013 season, 27 touchdowns, two picks, all the NFL records, 25 straight completions, seven touchdowns in a game. I don't know how you can say Nick Foles is not the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. And I'm a big Donovan fan. The guy won 9 playoff games here. But I think any fan would rather take one Super Bowl title than 9 playoff wins.
Well, I know Donovan. We just had him in studio a couple weeks back. I will make sure I tell him exactly what you said, okay?
I appreciate that.
All right, if you look at this matchup, and you got Mitchell Trubisky, who's never done it, Nick Foles had never done it in the postseason to that level till a year ago. Where are you on what you think you're going to see from Chicago against the Philly defense?
Yeah, you know, you never know how a young quarterback's going to respond to his first playoff game. It's, you know, we've seen guys really struggle A few guys have done really well. You know, Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson, Mariota, some of the younger guys have really played well, but it's rare. It's rare for a young guy to handle the pressure and everything. I think the one thing Mitch Trubisky has going for him is the Bears aren't asking him to carry the team. They got a really good running game. They've got an elite defense, probably the best defense the Eagles will see this year, and he doesn't have to go there and carry the team on his shoulders. And I think that makes the Bears a really tough matchup for the Eagles. If they play close to the vest and you know, try to win a 17-13 game, I think that's the way the Bears are going to attack this. I really believe Super Bowl experience is important, and the Eagles have a roster just loaded with guys who've played at this level, who've experienced it just last year, and guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long, and Corey Graham, who've been on other Super Bowl teams, Lodi Nada, Michael Bennett. This roster is really experienced, but ultimately it's going to come down to which quarterback gets protected. There's two elite defensive lines, and two offensive lines are going to have a very tough task. I think ultimately this game is going to come down to which offensive line better protects the quarterback. I think when all is said and done, the experience thing's a little overrated. I don't think it hurts. I think pass protection is a lot more important than experience in this game.
All right, we got to roll, but give me your prediction. What happens in this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going Eagles 17-14. I don't like young quarterbacks in their first playoff game. I just think it's a lot to ask. He will get some help. He's got that defense. But I don't think the Bears are going to put up a ton of points. I don't think either team's going to put up a ton of points, but I'm going to go Eagles 17-14. And don't tell anyone what hotel I'm in.
I won't tell them that. And make sure you get some deep dish pizza so you get real pizza when you get to
Chicago.
I'll
work on that.
Thanks again for your time.
You got it.
All right. Jim Boylan is here to teach the young Chicago Bulls how to win. And apparently, he thinks it's best to teach Wendell Carter Jr. while he's sitting on the bench. The rookie gets pulled instead of learning on the floor. How will the Bulls leadership committee handle this one? We'll discuss that mess and get the guys' Bears picks next.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Wendell Carter Jr. learning what it's like to be a pro. Last night, a rough one for the rookie. No points, 0-for-5 from the floor, 1 board, 3 fouls. So instead of learning through his struggles, Jim Boylan took him out of the game. Carter Jr. played just 13 minutes. Here's Boylan's explanation after a 28-point loss.
Didn't need to put him back in.
What do you mean by that? Like, the counter would be it's about player development in many ways.
Well, sometimes you learn by sitting, too.
What do you think he learns by sitting?
He sees what's going on in the game. Yeah. Maybe you have some introspection. Maybe you realize I got to play my minutes better when I'm out there.
Wow.
I love that. I don't know what's going on with this franchise, period. So it's really hard to take these isolated moments and get too excited about them. Carter is the one kid who was playing really well before Hoiberg got fired.
And I feel like he competes.
Yeah.
Every night.
I mean, every night
he competes.
Bingo.
This is not a kid who I think is going to learn more on the bench. But I'm not as knowledgeable as Jim Boylan, so I'm not going to argue with him about it. Not about basketball. If he wants to talk football with me, we'll see. I can't challenge the coach on this, but it doesn't make sense to me.
I'm sick of the whole routine already. I'm sick of the high school stuff. I'm sick of the running the stairs. I'm sick of all of this. I don't understand why they think that they're going to somehow move backwards into competing into the NBA. Their defense has not gotten better. Statistically, it's gotten worse.
And their offense has gotten worse.
Yes. So explain to me how they're better with Jim Boylan as their head coach. I feel like every time he steps in the microphone, he embarrasses the franchise. Like, it didn't take me long to get here. And it makes me upset because I was kind of excited for the season to start with the Bulls, and everything has just been a disaster. It couldn't get any worse, and every time he opens his mouth, I'm going, really? Like, this is how you're winning over hearts and minds in that locker room?
It will bring free agents here.
Pack said it won't affect it. And I think that he's crazy to believe that.
I agree with you.
First of all, I can't watch him without thinking that he's just a Tibbs impersonator. You know, just some sort of, you know, 80% of Tibbs guy.
Without the basketball knowledge.
Without the winning baggage. Yeah, I mean, you can do this stuff.
Without the buy-in.
Yeah, yeah, you can
Tibbs
do this stuff when
you guys buy in.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, real quick, we got to get picks.
Football, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm taking
Bulls.
You know what? Listen, the Eagles are a great team, hearts of champions, all that good stuff. This year, the Bears have been a better team. I'm going with the Bears defense. I've got a Bears 23-13.
Bears won 9 of 10 when Mitch and Khalil are healthy. They haven't lost since week one. I got them by 8, 23-15.
I'm uncomfortable with this game, but I'm going to go Bears 24-21.
All right.
What about you?
You?
I am picking Chicago 24-13. 24-13, Chicago wins it, and they cover the number. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado Blackhawks. Pregame Live is next, and the Blackhawks and Islanders 6:30 playoff show next as well.